The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the first chapter. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judea, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and his name is holy. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. On the fifth day of Christmas, my true loves gave to me 5 golden rings, 4 calling birds, 3 French hens, 2 turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree. Today is the fifth day of Christmas, don't you know? There's 12 of them, in fact. There's more than just one day. Although the world has taken down their trees and their decorations, although they have stopped playing Christmas music, and they've stopped baking Christmas cookies, the church continues to celebrate the joy and the excitement of our newborn Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For all 12 days of Christmas, we will continue to praise and to give thanks for our Savior, and truthfully every day that for that matter, as we look forward to and celebrate the love that our Father has for us by sending His Son, Jesus, to be our Savior. The Word of God, then, for which we meditate upon this fifth day of Christmas, comes from our epistle lesson read just a few moments ago. Hear again the Word of God. "And you, who are dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with Him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This He set aside, nailing it to the cross." Here ends our text. In the name of Jesus, dear friends, our Christmas story on Christmas Day ends with a cliffhanger. If it were a movie or a TV show, at the bottom of the screen it would read, "To be continued." The story of Christmas ends with our Savior Jesus wrapped in swaddling clothes and placed in a manger, and shepherds come and worship Him, and then the story ends. And we rejoice certainly with the birth of our Savior. We rejoice that He's here and He dwells amongst us. But didn't Jesus come with a purpose? He has a job to do. This can't be the end of the story. The story of your salvation doesn't end on Christmas Day. Like any TV show that would end with a "to be continued" would be disappointing, so also would be disappointing if your story of salvation ended on Christmas Day. For you would have a Savior who hadn't saved. Now, God has indeed been at work saving throughout the history of His people. But I'd like to suggest to you that that salvation thus far has only been a partial save. In the Old Testament, the people would make sacrifices for their sins. This is how God made His people right with Him. Through animal sacrifices, He would forgive sins. But the problem was, these sacrifices couldn't eliminate sin, and they couldn't even eliminate the consequences of those sins, namely death. So these sacrifices had to be repeated over and over and over and over again. And no amount of sacrifice, doesn't matter how big the animal or how many buckets of blood, none of these sacrifices could make God's people truly worthy to be in His presence. They couldn't make them holy. They couldn't ultimately forgive sins forever. They couldn't redeem God's people. God's people need a Savior, one who is not a sacrifice that has to be repeated over and over and over again, but God's people need a Savior who can fully save, who can come once and for all and get rid of sin and get rid of death. Like I said, Jesus has a job to do. He's here for a purpose. He's here for a great purpose. He's here to save. And the people of God and all of creation have been begging and longing for His coming. For you see, like I said, we have a problem. And this problem can best be described as sin. And sin is maybe only the beginning of that problem, as we know that that leads to death. It's a problem we just can't seem to overcome. This sin, this problem, started with our forefather Adam over 6,000 years ago, as he disobeyed the Lord and was kicked out of His presence and kicked out of that garden. And Adam couldn't stop the train wreck of sin. It appears from Adam it only gets worse. Only one generation later, his own son kills someone, and sin creates its first cause, its first problem of death. From Cain and Abel, it only gets worse. By the time you get to Noah, the world is so bad that God says enough. And He clicks the reset button, and the only people He saves is Noah and his family. And yet we quickly find out that even the waters of the flood couldn't stop this train wreck, couldn't stop this problem of sin. Oh, like that black plague that rolled through Europe and killed hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people, oh, sin appears to be so much worse, not affecting most people, but affecting everyone, where there is no cure and it cannot be stopped. From Adam to us, sin has continued to reign, and this truly is bad news for God's people. At this Christmas time of year, we're encountered with a jolly man named Santa Claus. As the song would have us believe, he's making a list. Oh, and he's checking it twice. He's going to find out who's naughty and who's nice. And we know, as we're told from the song, that, well, those who are naughty, well, they're going to receive coal. That's their punishment on this list of rights and wrongs. If you're naughty, you get coal. Well, we don't want coal. We would like presents. But I'm here to tell you today that there is something, oh, so much worse than coal. For there is someone else with the list. Not jolly old Saint Nick, but this person on the list, his name is Satan. And Satan have this list. It's a list of sins. And on this list of sins is every single sin you have ever done. It's this naughty or nice list that, as it's unraveled, it would go all the way down from my pulpit to the ground. It would roll all the way down the aisle. And quite frankly, it would probably go around the entire world numerous times. It's not just the one time you messed up. It's every time you messed up. It's that time when you were a child and you unwrapped your Christmas presents before Christmas Day. It's that time when you said a bad word. That time you teased that boy or girl at school for being different. That time you lied. That time you stole. That time you skipped church. That time you went a little too far with your boyfriend or girlfriend. That time you were angry and hit someone. That time you gossiped. That time you got too emotional and hurt someone with your words. That time you were speeding and the cop never even saw you. That time you drank a little too much. That time you stole from work. That time you failed to help your neighbor in need because you simply didn't want to. That time you cheated on your spouse. That time you let your children down. And when I say that time, well, I really mean all of those times. For it's not just that one time you did one sin, but it's every single time you lied, every single time you gossiped, every single time. And Satan takes this list, and night and day he stands before your Father in heaven, and he says, he's not good enough. He has not listened to you, O Lord. He has not obeyed your voice. How can you possibly love him? He's not good enough. Look at this list. You demand perfection. It's not just one thing on this list. This list goes all the way down the pulpit, all the way down the aisle, and all the way around the world. He's a sinner. And if the story of Jesus' salvation for us ended on Christmas Day, then our Father in heaven, upon hearing all this evidence, would turn to us and say, he's right. And he would banish us to everlasting damnation. But the story of our Savior doesn't end on Christmas Day. There's that to be continued of the story that we know oh so well. For that new baby, born to Mary and born to Joseph, doesn't stay a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. No, he continues to grow. He grows and lives a perfect life. There's no list that can be brought up against this Jesus. The devil cannot accuse him night and day before our Father in heaven. Satan has no power and no dominion over him. For the story of our salvation doesn't end in a manger. No, our story ends with a cross, and our story ends with an open tomb. Our epistle lesson for this day reminds us that before Jesus' death and resurrection, we were dead in our sins. Our Heavenly Father looked at us and saw a sinner and one who is liable for judgment and punishment. But our God has made us alive again. And he does this not through a sacrifice of animals, not through buckets of blood, but he forgives us of our sins through the once and for all perfect sacrifice of our Savior, Jesus. So now this long list that can unravel from the pulpit to the ground, down the aisle and around the world numerous times, our Savior Jesus now takes that list, all of our lists, and he goes to a cross and he nails them with him on that cross. Whereas his blood is shed, this blood flows over this list. And that list, well, those things are all washed clean. The list is torn up. There is no more. Our Heavenly Father doesn't see a list of wrongs. But instead, when our Heavenly Father sees you, no, he sees you covered in Christ's blood. He sees you washed clean. He sees you in that robe of righteousness. He sees your Savior, Jesus. And upon hearing Jesus' verdict, he says to you, you're forgiven. You're mine. You're mine always. Come and enter eternal life with me. And to the devil, the one who stands and accuses us, he says, be gone, Satan, out of my presence. They are mine. On this fifth day of Christmas, we continue to rejoice in the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Although the world has stopped celebrating his birth, we continue to celebrate, knowing the great love our Father has for us by sending Jesus. Rejoicing that the story of Jesus doesn't end in a manger, but the love that our Father has for us is for his Son to be the once and for all perfect sacrifice that saves you from your sins. No longer can Satan hold you accountable to some long list, but we are saved by our Savior Jesus, who grants to you forgiveness by nailing your sins to a cross. Amen. Now may the peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We add to our list of prayer requests today Bob DeBoe, who was rushed to the hospital this morning as he was having trouble breathing. So we lift him up before our Father's throne of grace and mercy, and all others listed on our prayer requests, as we can go to our Heavenly Father, trusting in him to answer our prayers. O Holy Spirit, you have revealed Jesus Christ to us as our Savior and Lord, and has given us the gift of faith. When our faith is challenged, defend us. When our faith wavers, strengthen us. When doubts assail us, rescue us. When our faith seems fruitless, nourish us that the fruits of faith may give glory to you. Lord, in your mercy, gracious God, we bring before you all who are in need. Feed the hungry, comfort the sorrowing, give renewed strength and healing to all who are ill. Give courage to the frightened. Especially hear our prayer and provide for the needs of Joan, Don, Sarah, Ed, Iola, Doris, Shirley, Vic, Ray, Andrea, Janet, Florence, Megan, and Bob. Use us, we pray, to be your hands of love and caring for all who are troubled. Lord, in your mercy, giver of life, we praise and thank you for the gift of new life to Sarah Ann. Please continue to bless Sarah and Mom that they may be strengthened and happy and healthy. We also give thanks for the gift of new life that you have given to Sarah as she was baptized and became part of your family. Continue to watch over her and strengthen her faith in Jesus. Lord, in your mercy, loving Father, as you sent your Son to give life to all people, help us to value all stages of life, that we protect those who are still in the womb, and that we would watch over our elderly, keeping in mind that you give life to all. Lord, in your mercy, gracious God, you have established governments to keep order in the world, to protect us from danger, and to provide justice in this world. Bless our leaders. Give them wisdom and courage, understanding and mercy, that the gospel of Jesus Christ may flourish among us. Lord, in your mercy, giver of life, we recognize that the holidays are not always merry for everyone. Be with all who are depressed or lonely. Be especially with the Kuhn family as they mourn the loss of Mom. Grant them the assurance that you will never leave them and the confidence that she will be raised on the last day. Lord, in your mercy, these and all petitions of our hearts, we are bold to bring before you, Heavenly Father, at the command and promise of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.